Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, my name is JC and Neff, and we're from Terre Haute, Indiana. And this is my wife, Jessie, over here. Stand up. And Pastor Mark was right. Tonight is our anniversary, 36 years ago. About this time, you know what we might have been doing, but hallelujah. And so we're going to cut the service short tonight, and we're going to see if we get lucky again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No, but she's my love of my life, and she's the one that's behind me, and she's put up with me for 36 years. So praise the Lord. So I'm so blessed to have her. Your pastors, Mark and Rhonda, we love them. We appreciate them. They're such a blessing. This is an amazing church. It's a church of excellence, but more than that, you know, Brother Hagin said that what's God doing in the last days? Yes. He's raising up churches who'll preach the word and flow in the Spirit. And you guys have successfully done that. And you have stayed with the will of God, and yet look at you. You're growing. Hallelujah. And you're very fortunate and very blessed. Amen. And so don't ever take that for granted. Amen. Because not very many churches today are doing that. They're either compromising or doing something, but you guys haven't. And so you need to thank God for your pastors, because they're the leaders, and they have stayed true to their hearts. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a good time at the men's retreat. Men's outing, whatever you call it. Mighty Men. Yeah, that was awesome. And a lot of changes there. And any of you men doing, wives, how are the men doing? Good? Okay, we're getting some good. Well, just give us time, you know, give us room. Don't expect sudden changes. Hallelujah. But let us, you know, let us grow. Glory to God. And I believe that you're going to see changes in all of us. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this time in your presence and this time in your word. And we look to the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to reveal and unveil the word of God. I confess over each and every one that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and doing in our midst. And so, Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn over, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. You know, I see some of the ministers, and they say, well, do you know what you're doing? I said, well, I think so. And then I wouldn't. So I just got in faith, and I just said, Lord, I thank you. I'll know what to do. I'll know what to do. Praise God. And then when my head is go another direction, I just say, Lord, I thank you. I'll know what to do that night. And so I believe I know what to do. And I believe it's right. Hallelujah. And I believe it'll bless you. Glory to God. And I believe it's exactly what we need to hear tonight. How about you? You believe that? Glory to God. Where did I tell you? Romans 8. Let's start in verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So he's calling an infirmity here of not knowing how to pray in certain instances and situations. How many has ever experienced that? So he says that's in a weakness that we have, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now listen, there's only one group of people that can do this, and that is Spirit-filled believers. All right? This is not excluding any other Christians or believers. It's just if you're going to operate in this, you have to be filled with the Spirit and speak with other tongues. Okay? And if you don't, then what you need, this should be a reason why you should want to be filled. Okay, because there are a lot of benefits to this. And so this is one of the benefits, that when we don't know how to pray, when we come up against a wall and we're all prayed out and we don't know what to do, well, the Bible says that we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray about that situation, and He will hook up with us. He will give us utterance, and He knows your heart. He knows the will and the mind of God. Glory to God. And He's the perfect intercessor, and He can pray the prayer out for you. Hallelujah. How many thinks that's a good deal? Yes. Yeah, you can't beat that. And then he says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together. See, this scripture is because you did verse 26 and 27. You can't just quote this scripture all the time and not get the ones previous. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that are loved of God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All right, so he says, those who are called according to His purpose. How many of you answered the call? Yes. The call to Jesus. Yes. All right, so we're going to go on. I just started a little early so we can keep going with the flow here in these scriptures. So he talks about our calling, that He's called us according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow. So He foreknow you before anyone else foreknow you. Even before your mom and dad foreknow you. So if He foreknow you before anyone else, don't you think He still knows you? He still knows all about you and very aware of you. Praise the Lord. And He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now let me read this one out of the Good News Bible. Those whom God had already chosen, He also set apart to become like His Son, so that the Son would be the eldest brother in a large family. Hallelujah. Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is known. We're a big family. Yeah. Glory to God. When we answer the call, we become a family. Yeah. The family of God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And here's something else. He said predestined. Don't get all caught up in this, but He predestined you to come into the family. Yeah. Everyone was predestined. The world is predestined. Those that have not accepted, those that have not come in yet, they're predestined to be saved. They're predestined to be filled. They're predestined to be healed. They're predestined, glory to God, to walk in God's will, God's purpose. Hallelujah. We're all predestined. Amen. But yet we still, so that means it's the will of God. But we still have to answer. You know, there's the scripture over in, see, Revelation 3:5, it talks about that how that those who overcome, it says He will not blot us out of the book of life. Well, not blot us out, well, that means that everyone's written in the book of life. Glory to God. And then those who don't accept Jesus Christ are going to be blotted out. That means that He's expecting everyone to come into life. He's expecting everyone to come into salvation. So it's not an automatic thing, but God is predestined that everyone can come into it. Does that make sense? Yes. Hallelujah. So he says here that predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. He's talking about us now. We've been predestinated. We have been called. And those He called, what does it say next? He justified us. And then whom He justified, then what did He do? Them He glorified. I thought this would be good because He's calling it the glorious friends. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, we've been glorified. Now, put up the Amplified. The Amplified is interesting. This same verse here, Romans 8:30 in the Amplified. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. Now, this is what he did with you. Yeah. Not going to do.
That's right.
All right? He acquitted you. He made you righteous. You can't make your, you can't do it. I tried. You can't do it. All right? And so he had to make us that way. And he's the one who put us into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now get hold of this word glorified now. Raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. He raised us to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Now, if you're like me, you wouldn't have maybe known what that word dignity was all about. So I looked it up. And listen what this is. Dignity means a person of high rank or title. A person of high rank or title. So raising us to a heavenly dignity, he raised us and gave us a high ranking in the heavens, a high ranking or title or status. Amen. This is what he did for us. So when he justified you, this is what he's saying. We've been justified. You know, well, praise the Lord, I've been justified. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that you have been given a high ranking in heaven's kingdom, in the kingdom of God. You carry something. You know, we have ambassadors that represent our nation. You know, the U.S. ambassador, glory to God, to another nation. Well, he is a dignitary. And that's what you are. You are heaven's dignitary. As soon as we answer the call, and as soon as we were justified, made righteous, acquitted, glory to God, then we were also justified, and now we are dignitaries. We're dignitaries in the kingdom of God. We're not normal. Amen. We're important. What I mean is you're important. You carry weight in this world. The devil knows you. And I guarantee you, he knows you in this church. He knows all about you. And every time you come, he's fearful that you're all of a sudden going to get a hold of something and start walking in your heavenly rights. Okay? So he says that he has glorified us. So we're dignitaries of heaven. So when Pastor Mark called us glorious friends, what does that mean? Well, his friends have high status, high ranking. Well, but what about you? Now keep all this in mind. Keep remembering what glorious is now. Go over to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Are you getting something? Is it gonna help you, change you? Now, see, you're already glorified. We don't have to lay hands on you. We don't have to give a word to you. We don't have to do anything abracadabra over you. Glory to God. Jesus already glorified you. Didn't he? I said, didn't he?
Yes.
Amen. So Ephesians 5, verse 26. We taught a little bit out of this over at the men's meeting. And this scripture's here. Wives, we talked about the wife loving your husband. Wife submitting to the husband. We hit all those verses. It blessed us. Real blessing. 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. A glorious church. A glorious church. All right, now listen. The glorious church is the same church or the same people that he's talking about over in Romans 8. Those who have been raised to a heavenly dignity. Those who are walking, who have heavenly ranks and rights and privileges. Okay, so those are the ones he's talking about. And now notice, he said that he might present to him a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now that spot or wrinkle is what is keeps tripping us up. Because I've heard, you know, I hear so many times that, you know, God is coming back for a glory, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, and that, you know, we're going to get there. Judgment's going to come in the house of the Lord, and we're going to clean up, and we're going to finally be that glorious church. No. I'm telling you what, we're in the flesh, we're always going to have spot or wrinkles. And as the older you get, the more wrinkles you're going to have. All right? He's not talking about the flesh. He's not talking about our actions. He's talking about what Christ made us, what Christ did in us, and what Christ has made that inner man. And that man, glory to God, does not have spot or wrinkle. Now, just keep your finger there. Go over to Colossians 1:22. It says, in the body of his flesh through death, I'll just say it this way, he presented you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Because we're in Christ. So when God looks at you, he sees you holy, he sees you unblameable, and he sees you unreprovable. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Okay, so going back here, over into Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So if we believe Colossians 1, glory to God, that we are already holy, unblameable, then that means that we have to be the glorious church that he's referring to here. This is who we are right now. This is who you are. You know, if you're looking for the glorious church, just look to the person in the seat to your right and the seat to the left. Because that's who we are. Not going to be. There's not going to be an outpouring that's going to make us glorious. We are already glorious. When you answer the call of Jesus Christ, glory to God, then he justified you and then he glorified you. Amen. Amen. So we are the glorious church. Say, we are the glorious church. Amen. We're not waiting for this to happen someday. This is not what's preventing Jesus from coming back until the glorious church comes without spot or wrinkle. The glorious church now has no spot or wrinkle. All right? He's not looking. He's not looking outwardly. He's looking inwardly to what God did to us. Now go to Romans 5. Romans 5:17, these are familiar scriptures probably to you. It says, For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, can we have that in the Amplified on the screens, please? For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So see, this is what you and I are supposed to be doing. This is what God wills for us, is that we are to be reigning as kings. What does a king do? Well, you know, he sits on his throne, and then he has a scepter, and then he decrees things. Yeah. Hallelujah. Once he decrees it, what happens? It goes forth. Yeah. And see, that's the type of what we are. You know, he's called the King of Kings. Well, who are the under kings? That's us. Glory to God. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be reigning in this life. Glory to God. Reigning in our homes. Amen. Reigning in our cities. Reigning in our nation. This is what we're supposed to do. Where God has placed you and gave you dominion, then you're supposed to be reigning. Hallelujah. Now, I've been working on this app, okay? And it's in beta testing right now. And I've been working on this app, and what it'll do, we've been working on it, and with the infrared and then speeding up the light, we're able to take a picture, and this picture is able to go and see the spirit of man. Oh, I know, it's advanced, okay? and this is why we're being real careful about getting it out, because everyone's going to want it. And so, anyways, I'm going to show you how it works. It's in beta, so don't even try to go to, you know, to the Google store or whatever and try to get it yet. I'm going to use this man here, JC. Stand up, JC. Now, if you ought to see something here in common, the JC and JC, how there is such a familiar, how we're both really good looking. You know, this wasn't by accident, was it?
No, not at all.
No. No, 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 no. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to take JC's picture. And then I'm going to show you how this app works. All right. God, let me get one more. Oh, my God. People are going to be amazed. Got it. All right, you can sit down. Now, wait a minute. I just got to go through the process here. All right. Now, I'm going to send it back to the... Okay, guys, I'm going to email this picture back to you so you can put it up on the screen. Wait a minute. Okay, it's being sent back to you. Okay, when you guys get it, can you go ahead and put it up on the screen? See? This is what JC looks like in the spirit. Amen. That's what he looks like in the spirit. Ruling and reigning. Praise God, he's been justified, hasn't he? He's been glorified. Glory to God, amen. And see, and in the spirit, that's the way we look. That's who we are. You're not trying to be, just relax and trying to be it. You already are it. That's who you are. Glory to God. I'll let you know when the app's completed. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Erica likes that. Well, I thought you'd want your picture. Ephesians 1 in the epistle prayer here, and we'll just start in verse 17. You should be praying these all the time. Amen. Just pray them every day over yourself, because it's talking about getting revelation of being justified. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised, everyone say raised. Raised him from the dead. What happened when you were justified? You were raised, right, to a heavenly dignity. Raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, powers, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Now go drop down to verse 4 and chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, remember he foreknew us, had quickened us together with Christ, predestinated us, by grace you're saved, and has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, this is being justified. This is the justification. The process of justification that God did in you. It raised you up, made you sit together, hallelujah, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here you see where Romans says where he justify or where he justifies, then I'm getting it all mixed up here. Anyway, when he made you righteous, then he brought you into justification. But this is what he's talking about here. Even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together. Then he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. Now, so this is who we are. This is not going to, again, this is not something that you're going to have to work up. This is just who we are. Just like if, you know, if we could take a picture of you, your inner man, you would also have a king's hat on there that you're to be ruling and reigning in. Now, here, I want to go over to John chapter 3 and sort of shift gears a little bit. But I want to show you how that, you know, we've been talking about who we are. Now, I think here's a clue of how we can operate in this that'll help us. John chapter 3, verse 31. Because you don't want to live your whole life and, you know, being justified but never walking in any of the benefits of it, right? I mean, we want to grow in that. We want to learn how to rule and to reign. Well, one person that we can look at that who did it and was successful in is Jesus. Now, verse 31 says, he that cometh from above is above all. Now notice above, because where are you now? You're above. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, and he that cometh from a heaven is above all. Now, hold your finger there, and I want you to go over to John 3:3, a familiar scripture. Verily, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everyone say that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the word born again in some of the margins of your Bible may say, except a man be born of above. Has anyone got that in your Bibles? Yeah, we've got a few hands. I know I looked up a few translations. The Young's Literal says that. The Jubilee Bible says born again from above. Amplify says anew and from above. So we could read this, and I believe this is what the meaning of it is, that except a man be born of above. Born of above. that he cannot see the kingdom of God or the ways of God. Now, let's go back to verse 31 now and look at it in a little different light. Because when we're reading it, we know this, speaking of Jesus, he that cometh from above is above all. And we know he's above all. You know, we've seen that he was above the principalities and powers and mights and dominions. But we seldom see ourselves being above all. We seldom see ourselves being in those seat of ruling and reigning, being having that scepter of decreeing. Okay? Well, now, if it says here, he that cometh from above is above all, now you're born of above. And so it says, then if this applied to Jesus, then it would have to apply to us too. He that cometh from above is above all. So you that are above, you're above all now. Above all what? Well, what do you need to be above? What's trying to ascend over you right now? Is there a sickness trying to ascend over you? Is lack trying to ascend over you? Is there fear? What is it that's trying to ascend over you? Because it says Jesus who is above all. Glory to God. And again, Ephesians said the principalities, the powers, the mights, and dominions. Amen. Well, then we're above all that too. I said we're above all that too. Amen. You are. Right now you are. Amen. Glory to God. Again, you don't need a special touch. You're right now there. And now notice here, he says, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth, now listen to this, he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, or bound to the earth, bound to the things of the earth, bound to the limitations of the earth, bound to everything that, you know, the world has succumbed to, you know, and just trying to scrape by. He said, they that are of the earth are earthly. And notice how come they're earthly? They speak of the earth. Notice they're talking. They're speaking. That's what's binding them to the earth. That's what's keeping them from being above. Do you see that? Well, then, wouldn't it make sense if we want to walk in the heavenlies, we want to decree and walk in that place that Christ has put us? Then that means that our talk has to be heavenly. Then it can't be like the earth. It can't be like what you're hearing—the disparity and all the doubt and all the unbelief and all the fear. What does that only do? That keeps you bound to the things of the earth. That keeps you from ruling and reigning. Jesus kept saying, he said, I'm not of this world. He said, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Well, how much does that apply to us? Are we of this world anymore? No, not really. Not spiritually speaking, we're born of above now. We're of a whole new family. We're in a brand new kingdom. Now, so that means we can't talk worldly. We can't talk like we used to talk and expect to walk in the authority and the power, glory to God, that we're destined to walk in. Amen. Okay, so you seeing here, because he makes a real emphasis on the fact they that are of the earth are earthly, bound to the earth, the things of the earth, the limitations of the earth, because of what they talk, of what they say. So if we're going to rise above that and be who we are, then we're going to have to change our vocabulary. Now go over to Colossians. Before we go there, you can go on there, but I'm going to go to Matthew 16 real quick. This is a passage of scripture that I keep coming back to frequently. And it's when, you know, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And, you know, and then they answer, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said to Peter, he says, "Yeah, but who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he goes on and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he says, and upon this, he says, "And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, we know that he's not talking about building the church on Peter, right? He's talking about building the church on the revelation that Peter had. That's what he's speaking of. Well, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, the Christ, the Son of the living God. So just believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Christ, then, you know, he says, "I'm going to build my church." Well, there's a lot of Christians that believe that, but the gates of hell are prevailing against them. I mean, just knowing the simple thing, yeah, Jesus is Lord. You know, there must have been something else that we're supposed to be getting hold of. Amen. Because every Christian got to know that he's Lord. And, you know, I just kept meditating, and I still am. But, you know, Copeland years ago, he started preaching on the word Christ, and we come to find out that that wasn't Jesus' last name. And what was it? The anointed one. So it's about the power of God, about the anointing. And then the Son of God, well, we know that Jesus was the Son of God, the Son of God, but he was also a Son of God. And I sincerely believe that that what he's talking about is we get in a revelation that we are sons of God. And that we get a revelation of the anointing. Because the anointing that is upon him is upon us. Amen. You know, we were watching a video with it was at Mark Brzee's church. It was on, and it was T.L. Osborne. And I seen on there, he was calling, he said, "Okay, how many of you want to come up and I'll lay hands on you, get my anointing?" And so, you know, all the hands went up. And then he said to them, he goes, "Why do you want my anointing when you've already got Jesus' anointing?" You've already got Jesus' anointing. Well, how many of you know that his anointing trumps T.L. Osborne's anointing? Right? See, it's that we don't believe that. We're more earthly than we are heavenly. And because of that, it restricts us from walking in our privileges, rights and privileges. So here, when he's talking about, you know, getting a revelation, I believe this is what he's talking about, getting a revelation of our justification. Glory to God, that we're sons of God. That we're important people, that we're dignitaries of heaven, that we walk with authority, that we have rights and we have privileges. Glory to God, amen? And that we're confident in those. And notice, and then it's interesting that after he says that and after he talks about this revelation, then immediately he goes into verse 19 and he says, "I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth, you shall bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in earth, you shall be loosed in heaven." What's interesting, notice what happened. Once you get that revelation, then you're going to be freely walking around in your authority. Why aren't you exercising your authority now? Because you're not mindful of who you are. You're not mindful of that seat that you take. I'm talking me too, okay? Because if you're mindful, glory to God, you're seated right next to Christ. You're seated in heavenly places, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You're not going to hesitate. You're not going to have to wait until you hear a sermon on it I forgot about that binding and loosening. Man, we need to do that. No, if you're a king, you don't need to be reminded of your authority. Right? King, you can tell them what you want to tell them. All right? You can tell. If you don't like this, just say you don't like it. He doesn't have to be told that. He knows who he is. Hallelujah. So go over now to Colossians 3, and we'll close here. Say, I've been justified, and I've been glorified. All right, we're glorified. I've been saying justified all this time. I meant glorified. Colossians 3, verse 1. Now, if you've been risen with Christ, how many has been risen with Christ? Where are you sitting right now? Right hand of the Father. You're in heavenly places. Hallelujah. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are heavenly. Think heavenly. So what's heavenly? The Word. The Word. Glory to God. Amen. Don't let anything bring you down or out of your seat. Stay there. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Notice above. We're above. We're born of above. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Set your affections. This is what Pastor Lonnie was talking about the other night. Your mind, being spiritually minded. Set your mind on what? Things above. Things above. Hallelujah. Things above. We have to be reminded. We have to keep the Word before us so we'll be reminded of who we are, of the authority that we have. Glory to God that we have been acquitted, that we are forgiven. Glory to God that we are seated at the right hand of the Father of majesty. Amen? And so he says here that you're going to have to set your mind on those things and not on things of the earth. Hallelujah. See, it's not God. God doesn't need to do anything more for you. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to believe that and to walk in that, to begin thinking that. You're not going to get it unless you set your mind on those things. You're not going to get it unless you begin seeing yourself, glory to God, on the inside. What is it? He says, put off the old man and put on the new man. That's what we've got to do. We've got to put on the new man. He's got to put that new man, glory to God, on the outside. So that his family and so his church sees him walking, ruling, and reigning. Glory to God. Not being succumbed by the enemy and disease and sickness and poverty, but overcoming. But overcoming. You're an overcomer. Glory to God. And so this is what he's saying. He says, if you be risen with Christ, we're risen. Hallelujah. Then he says, now you start hunting. You start seeking for those things which are above. Start looking for the scriptures and start looking for the promises that show you that you're above. Glory to God. Start looking at him as Christ looked at him, because you're with him now. Everything he is, you are. Glory to God. Everything he is, you are. Everything that's on him is on you. Glory to God. So you have to do it the way he did it. He was our example. Set your affections. Set your affections. Set your mind. Set your mind. Not everyone's going to do this. Amen. Some are going to be bound to the earth. And it wasn't because it was the will of God. It's just because they weren't able to set their mind above. Hallelujah. It's work. Remember, the doer of the work, James says, shall be blessed. He didn't say the word. He says the doer of the work. So this is your work. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's stand. I just wanted to wake you up to who you are.
Amen.
Show you who you are. Hallelujah. Say this after me. For whom he called,
he justified,
he acquitted,
he
made righteous,
made to sit
in heavenly places,
in
whom he justified,
he glorified,
he raised to a place
of heavenly dignity.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Listen, every one of you have crowns on. Amen. We ought to just have a coronation tonight. It would have been awesome. We should have went to Burger King and bought some of those crowns. And just put it on every one of your heads. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. We love you.